Hello, and welcome back to Immortals and Portals, a Pathfinder real play podcast. I'm your host and GM, Zach, and joining me at the table is...
Adam, and I played Jules.
Oh my gosh.
Is that pretty good, Ryan?
That was pretty good, actually.
No, definitely. I knew who it was immediately.
It was both pretty good and awful at the same time.
Yeah. So I nailed it, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm Adam, and I play Jules, an Azerketi bard.
It didn't sound as bad as I thought it would in the episode, so that's like the only compliment I'm giving you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess on that note, I'm Joel, and I play Dax, a kobold rogue.
I'm Ryan, and I play... Tough, but not Tomaton Inventor.
I'm Taryn, and I play Waltz, a human champion.
Oh, all reliable.
Great. Well, last time on Mortals and Portals, Bigsby's crew was on a ship heading for Mazevo, the elvish capital on the mainland continent of Kyria, on the planet of Lorthal. There you go. Now you know exactly what's going on. And you guys did some hanging out, talking, and realized you don't know anything about each other's backstories because you've been so busy defeating dark druids and all that stuff. So you had a little bit of a chat, realized you all had a similar experience going through the node, specifically Waltz, Dax, and Jules. Since you were guided by some sort of vision that took you to the node and then had another vision while traveling through it that said a mysterious word and showed a circular stone doorway with the sigil of an encircled star. You found out that Tuff didn't have a vision when he went through the node, but he did see Dunedast, which guided him towards Garinar, which sent him on his quest. And obviously Dunedast wasn't there, so maybe he was also seeing mysterious visions, aberrations, or whatever you want to call them, guiding him in a sense. And you realize you didn't know what happened to Ryu when he went through the node, and it seems to be a puzzle piece of sorts, so you were kind of lost in the sauce, but luckily, yeah, lost in the sauce. Literally glad I worked that in. It just felt natural. Right. It felt like what I should say to explain how you guys are feeling. So,
and if lost. I could just chime in, I was lost in the sauce.
I mean, you became even more loster in the saucer. Later, because then you were suddenly on a ship, the same ship, with Digsby's crew, but also Ryu and Dunedast alive, and you didn't really know what was going on. They were just talking, having a good time, like everything was normal. You were able to like interact with them, they could react to you, so you were physically there, and you were noticing all sorts of things, like your shield that was destroyed by Forgost was still there. Obviously, Ryu was alive. They were talking about Digsby, like he was still alive. Dunedast was alive. So essentially, everyone got through this epic battle with Sindor without dying, and you didn't really know why yet. But you realized, kind of like the vision you had in the past or whatever happened where you were interacting with Kid Waltz, you knew that this probably wouldn't last forever. So you had to make the most of it. You started asking Dunedast some questions, like, what are the keepers? And he was like, well, it's what I hope you guys are. They're keepers of Kaldora. Yada yada, a bunch of lore that I wasn't prepared for you to ask yet, so I'm glad that I had a reason to like wrap that up really quick, because they started to disappear and you realize you should ask them what happened to Ryu when he went through the node. So you talked to Ryu in the flesh and he told you he had basically a similar experience and heard a different word. I don't know what it was, Undivig, something like that.
Undivig.
Yeah. Undivig.
So the vision ended, or your presence in some other timeline, whatever it was, ended. You appeared back on the ship in your regular body, and no one even noticed you had left. Super weird. And they were just talking as they were before you left. And then you told them what this word was and your experience, and they're like, okay, so you know all the words now. And they were kind of weirded out by what you went through. And then Waltz, you started to like pace around the ship and think about like what could have happened in this timeline. And you're thinking about how you had like visions of Dax dying when you punched Geldir and trying to see if any of this was connected. And then you started continuing down the train of thought and realized, you know, for Digsby to still be alive, like what could have led to that, and noticed that had you killed Geldir or had Geldir died in some way or was unable to continue from your first encounter with them way back in episode 2, then no one would have gotten up and ran all the way back to Commander Krim and told him about Digsby's crew, led them there, interrupted your conversation with Dunedast, alerted Sindor that you were there, led to the big fight with Rhaegorn that killed Digsby, And yeah, it was all Geldir. He's the one that threw the first wrench in your plans and did nothing but try and thwart you since, looking out for his own best interests and motives. And you were overridden with guilt because obviously you have spared him personally like 3 or 4 times. I'm not even sure how many at this point. But the last you saw him was you left him in the cell at Skillkeep to most likely die at the hands of Sindor, who would punish him for all of his failures. And yeah, you started to go down into the deck of the ship just to like go to bed and just be by yourself. You heard some noise in the kitchen, rustling around, did the old ha-ha, jumped around the corner, and guess who it was? It was Geldir. He's a stowaway on your ship. Somehow he weaseled his way out of Skillkeep. Imagine that. That guy just won't die. He's been a stowaway on your ship for a couple weeks.
And you know what the worst part about that is? Is he was drinking Jules' alcohol.
Yeah. Rude.
I mean, he's just been like in a dark corner
by
himself.
That is certainly the worst thing he's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Of all of his many offenses.
I'm going to get him.
He didn't ask.
Yeah, that's where we ended our session.
Grab his ankles and hold him upside down and shake him until all the alcohol comes back out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know he's there, man. You guys are just up there. I don't even know what you guys are doing. Just giving him a moment to be by himself. Because he stormed off looking all moody. And yeah, that is where we ended our session. So that is where we will start our session. So Waltz, you're in the kitchen. Across from you is a rather defensive looking Geldir. He's clearly caught off guard. You could tell he didn't want anyone to know he was here. Certainly didn't want to run into you. Sort of has his hands up and says, "How's it going, mate?"
Waltz will be absolutely stunned to see Geldir, because just a second ago, he felt that it was all his fault for not killing Geldir that led to all these people in his group dying. But now that he sees Geldir's alive, I think he's kind of filled with like anger and kind of a way out where he's thinking, oh no, it's not my fault, it's your fault. So Waltz will look at Geldir and say, "Geldir, still alive, huh?"
"I mean, are you really surprised, mate?"
"No, I'm not."
"Turns out you did me a favor by blowing your cover. Nobody wanted to face Sindor and tell him that they imprisoned me under your orders. And I was able to sneak away. All the commotion you stirred up."
"Yeah, you seem to weasel your way out of everything, don't you, Geldir?"
He gives you a cheeky smile. You're noticing how crooked his nose is now that it's had some time to heal from the many breaks, and says,
"What can I say? I'm opportunistic."
Can I do a perception check to see what is around me in this kitchen, GM Zachernesty, please?
Go for it.
25, Zachernesty.
Thank you for confirming who you're speaking to in that moment. I don't know if you're looking for anything specific, Waltz, but you do notice many typical items that you would see in a kitchen. Cookware, cutlery, pans, things
Gordon
like that.
Gordon Ramsay.
"You drank all the rum,
what do
you donkey.
Here, idiot sandwich."
"Yeah, Geldir, I'm starting to admire that about you. And I will look for a and grab a knife if I can."
Yeah, there's one on a counter in between you and Geldir, which he is on the other side of.
He's on the other side of it?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to make a lunge for that knife.
You're just going to reach out and grab it quickly?
Yes.
Oh, get him.
Can you roll me initiative?
No.
Oh,
he wants a free turn.
That's pretty fair.
You aren't trying to be subtle, bro.
He didn't say he was going to fight him yet.
What do you think when a guy just like grabs a knife really quickly off a table?
Maybe he's got like a hangnail he needs to dig out.
He's in the
kitchen. I don't know.
Like, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. He's going to chop some onions.
Could be innocent.
This is perception initiative.
He's going to Julian some carrots.
Yeah, do perception.
Ooh, 9.
Uh-oh.
He's not going to Julian some carrots.
Waltz, you're not really hiding the fact that you're scanning the kitchen. And Geldir, although doing a cheeky smile, sort of changes his demeanor as he sees you scanning the room. And you see that smile start to fade. And he follows your gaze and sees you lingering a bit too long on the knife in the center of the kitchen. And as your eyes widen and you prepare to lunge forward, he does the same, though much quicker. You can tell he's used to these sort of standoff situations. He's probably upset a few more people than you in his time and swipes his hand across the counter and underhand grips the knife and pulls it towards his chest, remaining on the other side of the counter, and says,
"What are you thinking, Waltz? I don't suppose you're down here to cut up a late night snack."
When you gave me the perception check earlier, were there multiple knives?
Yeah, there's cutlery. There's multiple knives.
Well, I will grab a different knife.
I hope you get like the small, like...
Touché.
Waltz, you sort of do an exhale with a slightly disappointed look, but regain focus and just simply reach to an adjacent counter lining the walls and slide another knife off the counter, to which Geldir says,
"Are you sure you want to do this again? I'm not going to lose to you twice."
"No, I don't want to do this again, Geldir, but it's long overdue."
"You picked an interesting time to be filled with vengeance, mate. It's all over. As soon as I get off this ship, I'm going home, and you're never going to see me again."
"Yeah, you're right about one thing. After this, I am never going to see you again."
Oh, man, that's so cool. Like, as soon as he started saying it, I was like, I know where this is going, but it's so cool. Oh, my gosh. And the first thing Geldir does is reaches his hand behind him for the rum that he was pulling out of the cabinet, overhand grips it, and whips it forward, throwing it across the counter, trying to smash it on your face. Does a 24 hit you?
Oh, yeah, it does.
And real quick, do you think it's fair to say that neither of you are wearing armor?
Yes.
All right, I agree. And he deals 4 damage as this rum bottle smashes across your chest and glass splinters everywhere, and you feel disoriented for a moment and see him simply waiting on the other side of the counter, beckoning you with his hand.
"Your move, mate."
How high is the counter in front of me?
4 feet. I don't know. Taller counters. 4 feet sounds good to me.
I'm going to leap over that counter towards Geldir for my first action.
All right, so you're going to do a long jump, which is 2 actions. Can you roll me an athletics check?
Mm-hmm. Zach, do I have a hero point?
I mean, I didn't give you one, so no, I don't think so, unless you've been holding on to one.
18.
That is enough, because the DC is the number of feet you're trying to cover, and
oh, nice.
That's plenty. So Geldir simply sees you sprint forward, place 1 foot up on the counter, and then leap over it, covering the entire distance and landing on the other side directly in front of him. You see him bow up and look very surprised. What do you do with your third action?
I'm going to kind of counter out of my landing and swipe up at him with my knife.
Roll it up.
23.
That hits. Roll damage.
13, it does. 6.
You vertically slash upwards, dragging your blade across his chest, and it cuts through his tunic, and you just see blood drip down his chest as he staggers back, and his back hits the wall, sending him stumbling back forward.
All right, here we go again.
And that'll take us to Geldir. Geldir swaying back and forth, blinking a few times, getting dialed in, raises his dagger and is going to slash at you as well. Does an 11 hit you without armor?
Nope, doesn't hit.
He raises the dagger up in the air and comes down hard, trying to stab deep into your shoulder, and you raise your arm and your forearms collide, blocking perpendicularly as he stumbles back from the force you've met him with.
Come on!
And he's going to slash horizontally this time. Does a 15 hit you without
nope.
armor? Okay. And he slashes and you suck your stomach in and lunge backwards as he swipes at air. And he lets out another frustrated yell.
Ugh!
And he raises the dagger with both hands above his head and in frustration is going to try and stab downwards for a third frenzied attack. And absolutely misses. It is completely telegraphed as he swipes downwards and you simply push his shoulder to the side and throw him off course, and his other shoulder slams into the wall and he sways back and forth and looks at you intensely. What do you do on your turn?
Zach, can I text you something real quick?
Yeah, bro. Go for it. All right, Taryn, I got your text. You suck at grammar, and you're an idiot.
So many spelling mistakes.
So many spelling. It was only five
words.
You
have autocorrect, don't you? Like, goodness gracious.
I thought all the red lines underneath the words meant they were correct.
Correct, yeah.
Taryn's like a true like millennial. He just knows how to converse with GIFs and memes, so when he has to type, he's like, what the heck? All right, what do you do, man?
For my first action, I want to try and pin Geldir up against the wall.
Okay, roll a grappling check.
And can I do that with one arm and keep one hand free?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds like you can.
Uh-oh.
That one, sign. Baby.
Oh, yes. Oh, all right, roll a percentage die.
Oh, no.
Fail successfully.
30.
You go to grab Geldir with one arm, but he skillfully grabs your hand and twists your wrist, putting you in a pressure hold, and you drop to one knee, yelling in pain in a defenseless position, and he is going to attack you with a substantial circumstance bonus.
Oh no.
And does a 19 hit you without armor?
Oh yeah.
Looking down at you as he's holding your wrist and you feel helpless, he says,
it's not going to be like last time, Waltz.
And he stabs the dagger into your stomach, swinging it low.
Oh, that's not good.
Puncturing you for 7 damage. And he twists the dagger and pulls it out as some of your blood spills onto the floor. Do you have any remaining actions?
That was my first action, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would think I have 2, right? 2 more actions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do it.
The math.
Just gave him an out-of-turn action.
Yeah, last time you lived. And I'll go to attack him with the knife.
Perfect. Roll it up.
27.
That is a critical hit without armor.
Oh!
Nice. So, yeah, roll double damage.
Big numbers.
Oh, I'm going to freaking kill this guy.
And add your modifier twice.
14.
Damage?
14 damage, because I got a 6 plus my modifier is 4, and then a 4 plus my modifier.
Nice.
4.
So after you say your ominous threat about how last time you let him live and that won't be the case this time, you skillfully redistribute the leverage and break free of his hold after punching him with your other arm, causing him to wince for a moment. You slip free and windmill the dagger above your head as you're standing to your feet and stab it deep into his trap and pull it downwards, ripping it across his chest as you feel the muscles tear, blood shooting out, and he yells out in pain, stumbling backwards again, crashing into some pots and pans. What do you do with your third action?
Can I do a perception check for my last action?
For anything specific?
I want to try and gauge, like if there were a percentage associated with his health, how he's looking.
Okay, yeah. Roll it up.
I want to know how close to dead he is. 15.
He clearly has a lot of energy and determination in him that seems to contradict how damaged he looks. So you're not exactly sure. You don't feel like you have a good grasp on it. But you just know if someone's bleeding that much, they're probably not in good shape. But yeah, Geldir's resilient, man.
Okay.
And that'll take us to Geldir.
Oh, I've come too far for this.
And he pulls his hand away from his chest, looking at all the blood that's covering it. And he looks up at you. And you sense a hint of sorrow in his eyes that he quickly tries to suppress and turns to hatred as he looks at you, almost like he's trying to conjure hatred and anger towards you to keep him going. And then he lets out a sigh as he sort of shakes his head and then starts to trudge towards you again, lets out another yell. Ah! And he's going to try and stab you. Completely misses as you backstep and kick his knee, sending him stabbing in the wrong direction, and then he angrily lashes out again. Man, Kalthir cannot get a break against Will.
Good.
13 doesn't hit you without armor?
Nope.
He does a lunge towards you, trying to stab you directly in the chest, and you clap your hands around his wrist, stopping the blade before it reaches you, and then throw his hands to the side. And then he starts to breathe heavily, waning back and forth, and then he is just going to take the step action to put 5 feet in between you and says,
"Come on, Waltz. We don't have to do this. I just want to see my daughter."
Well, then you should have picked a different boat, Gildir.
Sick. And with that, can the rest of Digsby's crew up on the upper deck, after about 12 seconds of just yelling, commotion, pots and pans, has been going on downstairs. Yeah, can you roll me a perception check?
Yes.
Obviously, there's wind and waves and the creaking of the ship sort of drowning out what's going on below deck, but you start to hear some subtle sounds. What do you all get?
22.
19.
13.
I kind of picture that Jules is maybe like singing, looking out at the ocean, sipping on some rum, enjoying the breeze and the waves.
Yeah, that checks out.
Not really picking up on all the commotion, but Dax and Tuff, maybe as you're listening to the song, vibing with it, you know? You start to hear some sounds from below deck and tune out Jules' beautiful song, What a Shame, and realize something climactic, dangerous, loud is going on downstairs, and it sounds like a struggle.
Dax will look to Tuff, just give him a glance, and then call out to Jules.
Hey, Jules, quiet down for a second.
What? Sorry.
Tuff will look back at Dax with a puzzled look, and his ears will kind of like twitch and perk up like a cat listening in.
Jules, you hear that?
What is that?
It's coming from the galley.
Is Benjamin trying to cook again?
Nah, he's eaten plenty enough soap already. Can't be hungry.
You look over and he's like already in what is otherwise a food coma, like on the deck of the ship, just sleeping heavily, full of soap.
After taking a moment to listen, I kind of imagine we all look at each other and then simultaneously just head for the door and make our way there.
Yeah, Tuff will bolt down.
Agreed. Okay, so the three of you barge through the doorway and head to the lower deck of the ship, running down the stairs, and that'll take us to Waltz.
Waltz is going to spear Gildir, try and grapple him, take him to the ground.
All right.
While maintaining a position on top.
Okay, roll a grappling check.
24, baby.
Ooh, big numbers.
All right, that is a success. So as Gildir pleads with you, you run across the distance he just created by stepping backwards and then tackle him, pushing him up against the wall and grappling him. So you have one remaining action with your stride and then grapple.
With the knife in my hand, yeah, I'm going to attack him. I'm going to attack him with my dagger. I'm going to overhand stab.
All right. Roll an attack roll. With a +2 circumstance bonus because he's flat-footed now that you've grappled him.
+2 circumstance?
Yep. Or status, I don't know which one it is technically, but you get +2.
Knife fights are so brutal and like personal.
Yeah. I got an 18.
That hits. Roll damage.
7 damage.
Waltz, you can almost hear Geldir's heart beating out of his chest, feeling the vibration as you hold him tightly against the wall, blood dripping down him. All of that confidence, that cocky, smug confidence and arrogance that exudes from him vanishes in a moment as you raise the dagger above your head, casting a shadow over him. And for the first time, you see genuine fear with strong undertones of just deep, deep sadness, almost as he's accepting that this is his fate after all he's been through to try and get back to his daughter, all he's endured, all he's survived, all the people he's backstabbed, all the relationships he's destroyed, and he's a mere day away from the coast and seeing his daughter. And all of that sinks in as you thrust the dagger downward and stab it deep into your target. And as you breathe heavily, sweat dripping down your forehead, your eyes hung low in a moment of silence.
Couldn't do it after all, could you?
And just then, you see Dax, Tuff, and Jules crest the doorway. And you see a trembling Geldir up against the wall, covered in blood, with a dagger dug deep into the wall next to him. Clenched by Waltz, who is sweaty, bloody. That's what Taren texted me. He said he didn't
want to
kill him.
Oh, had me. Had me so good.
Had me in the first half, not going to lie.
And Geldir simply looks at you, looks frightened, but then somewhat relieved, and then looks reluctantly at Waltz, who still has him pinned against the wall. I'm not sure if he's going to change his mind in this moment. And for once, he almost doesn't want to say anything to make anyone else angry or alter the emotions or the potential course of events and just let this moment rest, feeling that Waltz has maybe changed his mind or is mustering restraint.
What the heck? Waltz, what's going on? Who is this?
Is that Geldir?
Waltz, are you okay?
Waltz is tightly holding Geldir against the wall, almost like pushing him harder into the wall and gripping that knife as hard as he can. He's going to just keep his head down in anger and try and organize his thoughts if he made the right decision or if this is going to end up hurting him again in the end.
Geldir? Jules, you go grab that Geldir guy. Dax, help me pull Waltz away.
Yeah, sure.
And Tuff will look up at Jules, maybe Jules sort of standing in shock, and try to snap him out of it.
Jules, go!
Sorry.
And I'll step forward, and maybe when I reach Waltz, I gently grab the knife from his hand and help him, like, remove it to set it aside.
Waltz, you feel the hands of your companions rest gently on your shoulder and then grab the knife, telling you it's okay. What do you do?
Waltz is going to let Jules take the weapon out of his hand, take a breath, and throw Geldir to the side with what hand he still has on him, and Waltz will walk out of the galley.
Tough, maybe as you're running up, and he throws Geldir towards you. He collides with you and maybe knocks you back a little bit. And Geldir weakly just rolls to the side and falls to the floor and slides across and is just holding his shoulder, chest, trying to stop the bleeding.
You guys mind lending me a hand?
Gross. Tuffle, like, fling some blood off of him. Dax, can you patch this guy up? We're almost to Mazevo, and the last thing we need is a dead body on our ship.
I like this guy.
Dax is incredibly conflicted right now.
Dax, what are you waiting for? Whatever history you have with this guy, it can't interrupt us getting to Mazevo. We'll deal with him once we get off the ship.
Reluctantly, Dax will go gather some bandages and stuff, only to stop the bleeding, just to make him not get worse, but he's not going to really do anything to heal Geldir necessarily. I think furthermore, just, I don't know, out of pettiness or bitterness or whatever you want to call it, Dax is not too concerned about if it hurts or not. So the bandages might be a little too tight, or he might be a little bit rougher than he would be with an ally. But I think what's going through Dax's head is that this is Waltz's battle to fight, I guess. You know, Dax isn't filled with rage, like he despises this guy, but Waltz, I don't know, if Waltz didn't kill him just then, there's got to be a reason. So Dax doesn't feel great about, I guess, taking that from Waltz. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, so you're going to basically do treat wounds, which takes a little bit of time. Tuff and Jules, while he's doing that, are you going to go after Waltz? You're going to hang out in the kitchen? What are you doing?
Tuff's going to go over to whatever sink in the kitchen here and start trying to clean off the blood from his body, his own body that was spilled on him from Geldir.
And Jules, you're going after Waltz?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jules heads up the stairs looking for Waltz. Tough, in his typical fashion, is taking care of himself after he felt he's orchestrated enough to make sure everyone's taken care of. So you're cleaning the blood off your jumpsuit, your metal body, whatever. And Dax, you're going to crouch down next to Geldir, who says,
"Hello again, Dax. How's it going?"
And you can tell he's very labored.
"Well, Geldir, I was doing a lot better before I found out you were here."
"Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Sorry about that."
"How'd you get out of there?"
"Oh, you know me, I'm resourceful. Turns out, no one wanted to be held responsible for imprisoning someone under Commander Waltz's orders. Not once Sindor figured out who he was. And, once I was set free, and all the commotion you two stirred up, I, was able to sneak out of there. Laid low until I saw a ship leaving the dock. Turns out it was your guys' ship. But I wasn't too picky."
"This is gonna hurt." And then Dax ties the bandage on, I don't know, wherever he got stabbed.
Oh, man. I would take another dagger stab over that, Dax. I thought you were good at this."
"Oh, I'm still in training."
Tough will walk over after drying off his hands. "All right, Dax, maybe it's about time you filled me in. What'd this guy do to deserve all this?" And motion to Geldir's stabbed up
body.
"Funny
you should ask. Nothing."
"I'm less inclined to believe you."
"You've been hanging out with Digsby's crew, then. Think I've used up all my goodwill with them."
"Man, you're doing a lot of talking for a guy that's bleeding so much."
"Gets me out of trouble, so. Nervous habit."
"Yeah, looks like it."
"Plus, I think if I stop talking, I might pass out, and I don't know if I'll wake up."
"Maybe that's for the best. Dax, you were saying?"
"I mean, in simplest terms, this guy's pretty much the reason for every bad thing we've experienced so far."
"That's your opinion. A lot of bad things have happened to me since you guys showed up, too."
"Shut up. Dax, go on."
"Well, like Waltz said back at the orchard, Geldir here pushed Waltz off the top of Forgoth's lair, tried to kill him."
"But I didn't. You left that part out, Dax. Watch what you're doing with that bandage."
"Not for lack of trying, Geldir."
"True. I don't know how much this guy knows," and Geldir points at Tough. "But this whole thing started because these fellas wouldn't pay a simple apple toll. I'm sure you're familiar with taxes, mate. It's a pretty standard thing."
Tough will just look confused and shake his head. "This is all way over my head. Whatever. Geldir, what do we have to do to make sure you're not going to cause us any trouble once we get to Mazevo?"
"Absolutely nothing."
"Don't listen to him, Tough. He has never spoken a word of truth in his life. We just got to tie him up."
"Are you sure about that, Dax?"
"Put him somewhere."
"Waltz knows what I'm really after. And if he hasn't told you, then that's on him. But all I want to see is my family. And as soon as I make land, that's where I'm heading. And you'll never see me again. And none of this needed to happen."
"You're right, Geldir. None of this did need to happen."
And nice.
Dax will try to find some rope to tie up Geldir.
"Did you learn this from Toriel? I don't think I'll heal too well bound up to the floor, mate."
Yeah, just sit there for a second, all right? Dax, can I talk to you?" And I'll kind of motion for Dax to come to the side.
As Dax finishes tying him up, you see Geldir's head dipping a little bit, clearly like woozy, and then he like leans his head backwards, just trying to rest and let the pain calm down a bit.
"Yeah, what's up?"
"All right, I mean, here's the thing. We're almost in Mazevo, and they don't really take too kindly to criminals out there. Kind of afraid of what's going to happen if we show up with a guy covered in blood, and even more afraid if he decides to tell him what went down on this ship and why he's covered in blood."
"I think that's a very fair point. I think the first thing we got to do is talk to Waltz, see what actually happened."
"Sure, but with this Geldir guy, I mean, it doesn't sound like he's got a clear vendetta against you guys specifically or anything, right?"
"It sure seems like it."
"How so? From what you've said, everything he did was because he was under Sindor. At this point, sounds like he wants to just be off on his own, be done with all this."
"This guy's got a real talent for making you feel safe. Every time we've had an opportunity to trust him and we've done it, it's backfired."
"Well, hey, whatever happens to this guy once we get to Mazevo, I couldn't care less, but we've got to at least make sure we're in the clear before then."
"Yeah, that's fair."
And as you two look towards Geldir, maybe mulling over what you're going to do, we will cut to Jules, who has just ascended the stairs, perhaps jogging across the deck of the ship, looking for Waltz. And Waltz, are you maybe on the railing of the ship, just looking out at the ocean?
Waltz is, as he's walking up, he's just going to lean against the side of the boat and sit down and put his hand on his side where his wound is and heal himself for 12 hit points.
Jules, out of the corner of your eye, you see a subtle yellow glow and turn your head and see Waltz otherwise sitting in darkness as the glow dissipates and he maybe leans his head back and lets out a sigh. And you can tell he just magically healed himself. What do you do?
I will grab the bottle of rum.
Yes.
And I'll calmly walk over to him and I'll just sit down. I haven't said anything yet. And without saying anything, I'll just gesture the bottle to him.
Waltz will just be panting. And with his eyes closed, maybe just feeling Jules' presence and catching a slight glimpse of that rum bottle, he'll reach out and grab it from him gently and start to take a swig. Thanks, Jules.
Anytime. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm tired. And I'll think to just how long of a, I don't know, hour it's been. I just had this traumatic experience in an alternate reality where I felt gaslighted the whole time. mostly by our GM, but no, it was just very confused and stressed and put through a roller coaster of emotions. And then when I was finally going to go to bed, ran into Geldir and then had a fight almost to the death, got stabbed. And so Waltz is just tired.
Jules will look up at the sky and stare at the stars for a while. We've been on quite the journey, haven't we, friend?
Yeah, it's been, long.
Did you ever want to see what else was out there beyond your home planet?
You know, not that I can remember. I've always liked places on my planet. I always wanted a house on the beach somewhere, or something by the water, someplace warm.
Sounds like you'd like Aquaria.
Yeah, maybe after all this is said and done, we can finally relax there.
I'd love to show you around. Can't say I thought about leaving either. I grew up in Sidonia, very secluded, and just wanted to get out of there. Guess I never really considered that there was even more beyond Aquaria.
Well, do you, you think you'll ever go back? And Waltz will pass Jules the rum.
I'll grab the bottle and exhale. I'd certainly like to, but I've learned that life is more interesting when you let it guide you. Don't force it, you know? And I'll take a swig. It certainly led me here. You know what? I can't say I would have let him live. I've certainly thought about killing him several times. I just want you to know that you're an inspiration. There have been so many opportunities, so many reasons for you to end his life, yet you have spared him. I think your honor is a big part of what brought you here. And then I'll pass the bottle once more.
Yeah, thank you. Waltz will grab that bottle, take another swig as he mulls over what Jules has said. That means a lot, Jules. You know, if we just killed him, I just killed him. I think Ryu and Dixby and Dunadas would still be here. But I also saw a future where all of us were dead. And either way, it's too late. It doesn't matter. What are we going to do? Take another life from another loved one and cause more pain to somebody else? Doesn't matter anymore. It's over. And I'll take another swig of rum and pass it back to Jules.
I'll grab the bottle once more. Waltz, that's a good way of thinking about it. And I'll take another swig. And after a brief moment of silence, I'll kind of smack my knees and... Well, that's enough rum for one night. And I'll get up and stretch. maybe turn and offer a hand to help him up. And need a hand, or do you want to stay for a while longer?
Jules, and I'll grab his hand. Let's get some rest.
That's a good idea.
All right, so...
No, it's fine. Tuff and Dax will just clean the bloodbath in the basement.
I am not dealing with it. Yeah, I'm not.
Like, I can't even right now, guys. I can't even.
None of you guys had to go to an alternate reality
and, like,
I'm
going to
go
stuff.
Tuck him in. Make sure I'm going to maybe...
I'm tired. I've had a long day.
I'm going to take Waltz back to his cot, and I'm going to cast sleep.
Wow, what a bro.
So he just rests super peacefully.
Nice. Is that like you kind of give him a little kiss on the cheek and that's how you cast it? Just bros being dudes, I guess.
Just bros being dudes.
All right. All of Digsby's crew goes to sleep. I'm assuming Geldir is still tied up while you figure out what to do with him, knowing you're going to be to Mazevo soon. And Ryan is looking at me like he wants to do something. And that's perfect because I don't think automatons sleep, right? Ryan, I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah,
they power off, something like that.
Yeah, power off for 2 hours at a time. So most of his night is for himself.
All right, so Tuff, after you got your 2 hour reboot and wake up and see everyone just sleeping soundly, what do you do?
Yeah, Tuff's going to go down to that kitchen where Geldir's all tied
just
up.
Just left him in the kitchen. Perfect.
Is that where I assume?
With all the knives.
We didn't say
himself.
Otherwise. So.
Maybe you put him in like a closet in the kitchen or something like that.
Okay, I go open the closet that Geldir's in.
His head is just lazily whips around, rocking back and forth, and he looks up.
Oh, great. Is this where you guys finally kill me? Now that I'm all tied up, I knew it.
Don't tempt me, but no, it's just me.
Yeah, I don't really know who you are.
Well, I've learned plenty about you, Geldir.
I'm sure it's all half-truths and lies. Oh, there's probably some truth in there, actually. Yeah. I definitely would have beaten Waltz, by the way, if a few other outside factors didn't, you know, alter the outcome of the fight. I don't know what he's told you.
Shut up. The guys were right. You can't turn you off. And I've been told I need a power button.
Give him another one.
You got any more jokes?
Nah, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Here's the deal. Digsby's crew isn't your biggest fan.
You don't say.
Sounds like you couldn't care less about them either.
That's fair.
But I know nobody works for Sindor just because they like the guy.
Also true.
Tell me, what are you after?
Like I said, I'm just trying to get back to my daughter.
Your daughter? She on Mazevo?
No, she's in Legothesi, but it's close.
So you're planning on making your way to Legothesi after landing at Mazevo, huh?
Yes. You trying to go to Legothesi too, mate? Wouldn't mind a house cat. Just kidding. He gives you a wink. Then he goes, my side. I don't know why I'm so cheeky right now.
Tuff just kind of rolls his eyes, but thinks to himself for a moment and almost kind of empathizes with Geldir in this scenario as sort of a black sheep and the person that everybody hates right now. Automatons aren't looked upon too fondly, and he's certainly been in situations where nobody wanted him around and he's been seen as the bad guy, and certainly understands at this point doing something for anything, for a loved one. And Tuff says, you know anything about Mazevo, Geldir?
Yeah, I'm from Lorthal, mate. Mazevo's the capital.
Well, then you probably know those with, we'll call it, sketchy pasts, don't really have much luck getting in there.
True.
What exactly was your plan once you got off this ship?
Well, I'm not planning to go through the Peritier, mate. Security won't see me, because I'm not entering the city. She's gonna get off on the docks and make my way out of there. Sounds like you got a sketchy pass, mate. Do you even know how to get in? Peritier will sniff you out immediately.
Well, here's the thing. I've got a plan. I've always got a plan.
Okay. Spoken like someone who's never encountered the Peritier.
Here's the deal. If you're trying to get to Legothesi, you've got to go through Mazebo. And if you think you can get by him or fool the Peritier, you're a fool. But here's the deal. I've got another path. I might be willing to take you with me. Sounds like you like making deals.
Yeah, mate. I do. But what makes you think I don't have a way to get past him? You think I snuck on this ship without any idea of what I was going to do next?
I think you snuck on this ship and got caught.
Well, okay, that's... Yeah, I suppose you could say that.
In the condition you're in right now, I don't think you're going to manage too well on your own.
I've gotten myself out of worse situations. Why don't you tell me what you want? And I'll decide for myself if I need you.
You ever come across Dunedas while you're with Sindor?
Yeah, I have, actually. A few times. I'd see him from time to time when we were performing our usual shakedown in Koros. I was there when Digsby's crew interrogated me. Watts slapped me, mind you. Not very honorable. What? It's not funny slapping? Who slaps?
Sorry, it was kind of funny.
Anyways, and then I suppose I saw him again in, Scale Keep.
Tuff's ears perk up and his brow furrows. Scale Keep, huh?
By the time I saw him, he was already dead.
Tuff will take a step forward. Tell me more.
Oh, hold on a second. What am I getting out of this again? Seems like you are proposing some sort of trade. And I'm awfully uncomfortable in these ropes. Doesn't really put me in a talking mood, see?
You know, I like you and I hate you. I think that makes me like you more. And he'll kind of like shrug his shoulders back. You might have yourself a deal here. I need info on Dunedas. You need to get into Mazevo.
Technically, I need to get past Mazevo, but yes, your point still stands.
Yeah. Details. Well, what do you say?
Well, what I need is to not be tied up, and I need you to stay out of my way as soon as this ship docks. And don't mention my name to anyone. If you can do that, make sure Waltz doesn't pick up any more knives or get any other harebrained ideas. Keep him in check. Then maybe, just maybe, I'll cooperate with you.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how much the guys are going to like just letting you off on your
own. That's not my problem. That's your problem. You want information. Is this your first time being in some kind of shakedown or a deal? You know how compromise works?
Shut up, do you? What I'm saying is you're much better off going through my underground path if you're trying to get into Mazevo.
Underground path. That's not what I was going to do, but, you know, good luck to you.
Well, it's going to be much easier to convince the guys to let me take you there than it is just let you do your thing once we get at the docks.
No deal.
Well, there's no use arguing with idiots. Only fools want to take the hard way when there's an easy path. Fine, I'll take care of making sure that you can f*** off once we get to Mazevo.
I see you're the edgy one in Digsby's crew. They could use a little bit of that.
And I'll deal with Digsby's crew. You give me info on Dunedas.
There's only one problem. I have to forfeit my information in trust that you will uphold your end of the bargain. And I don't know you too well. So what assurances do I have?
Well, that sounds like your problem.
Okay. I respect that. A little give and take. Whatever, I guess it doesn't matter. What do you want to know?
So, Zach, if I can just text you some info that I might want to try to get from him, okay. If that works.
Yeah.
So, about Dunedas and Scale Keep.
Ooh. Galdir slowly raises his head.
Tuff will respond to the information that he just got from Galdir.
Huh, interesting. Alright, well, we can't have you going out there looking like that.
And Tuff will take out his pistol, twirl it in his fingers, point it to Galdir's forehead, and fire.
What?
Off of his life shot miners.
Holy cow. He's like, wait, no. And then you fire it, and he receives some healing, and he goes,
could have been a little less dramatic with that, mate.
Oh my gosh.
I literally thought you were about to blow off Galdir's head.
Dude, that would have been sick.
That would have been awesome.
Tuff will spin the pistol again, put it in his chest holster, start walking away, wave his hand back, and say, good night, Galdir. We'll be at Mazevo in the morning.
And that is where we'll end our session.
Yeehaw. I can't believe you shot Galdir.
I legitimately thought you were going to blow his
just
head off.
Just shot him. Just say, Zach, cool. It sounds like you're wanting to talk about
that. I actually do
stuff.
Want to talk about that because like, I'm off to that. I'm like totally shocked
but
about
if
that.
If I could just say, Zach.
Downtime, so shut up, Zach. Shut up, Zach.
Yeah.
Wow, that does hurt, guys. I'm sorry to do that to you. Like, that's not okay.
35 episodes in, and you
finally started going
realize.
To therapy since you started telling me to shut up. But it's
sorry
okay.
about that. All right. Well, yeah, we'll talk about in the downtime, which for patrons, where we react to the most recent episode. That was a fun one. Lots of roleplay. And yeah, per the new tradition, we're just going to read a comment or something we've seen online of people talking about the show that has been uplifting to us, gave us some positive feedback, things like that. And this time, I want to read a post on our Reddit, because I love when people post on Reddit, and you know,
Reddit,
because I love when people post on our Reddit and, you know, kind of engage with the community, create conversation, create, you know, content like for us. And we just love that. And we think it's really cool that people take time out of their day to do that. And we got a really nice one the other day from, I got to butcher the name, from Belligerent Block. And this was during our break, so we're on our break right now. We're making content and stuff. This will probably be released, like, I don't know, in, like, May. But, you know, it's, like, February right now. And, yeah, this guy swooped in and said, "Just checking in." That was the name of the post. And he said, "Just checking in on the team that makes the best RPG podcast out there. Hope all is going well on the production. Just did a complete re-listen and have got my daughter starting a run-through."
Wow.
Yeah, man,
that's
that was
amazing.
Just really cool, because like the break, you know, it's very valuable to us to like get work done. And you know, we did legitimately take a break because this is super fun, but it can be kind of a grind. And like during this break, you know, we've just missed releasing episodes, creating new stuff for the community to talk about, and you know, kind of having that like disconnect during the break. So it's just really cool to see someone, you know, be thinking about us and just want to like, you know, share some positive vibes and, you know, take time of the day to comment. And yeah.
And to re-listen too.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's really cool that, you know, it's worth a re-listen, because I could totally see it being like, yeah, I already know it all. These guys are, you know, dumb and all their jokes, you know, whatever. But this guy's like, you know what? I want to listen to it twice, because we've all listened to it like 50 million times, because we got to like edit it and add effects and like QC it and all that stuff. Yeah. Joel has heard like individual lines 5,000 times. And so has Taryn. So yeah, you got to bump those numbers up if you want to beat Joel, but yeah. He also has the hidden content of all the lip smacks, sneezes, and coughs. But if you want to any of that, just let us know.
That's how he gets to sleep at night. It's this white noise machine.
Maybe we'll sell that somewhere.
I also just think it's super wholesome that he's sharing it with his daughter. It's kind of like a family thing. And just,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so anything that can kind of give you guys something to talk about, relate to, that's really cool. And also just in general, telling people about the show. That is like the number one way that we grow, is people vouching for us, because we can make posts, we can do promos, whatever. But like someone hearing from someone they trust or know, like vouch for the show, is better than anything we could ever do to get you to try and listen. So yeah, really appreciate just everyone in the community that has like referred someone, or just, you know, even listened in general, engaged and all that stuff. So thank you so much for doing that. And also someone else commented on here, you know, we commented on it a little bit, but this other guy called Twerkin PPP said that's my butchered version. He said, "Keep at it, boys. The kids and I are super excited to dive back into the story. The Dax teaser is just mean. Love it." Actually, yeah, released that little bit of a teaser from Dax's origin, because we were just excited and want to share some of the stuff we're working on.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for the encouraging words, and I'm glad you enjoyed the teaser, and it did its job making you want to hear some more, because that was why we did it, and just to share something. So yeah, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time, mortals.
So he fully took it out of my torso?
Yep.
You can say tummy.
Yeah, you can say tummy, Taryn.
Tummy.
Okay.
Say it again.
Tummy.
You can say it, buddy. Does anyone else want to say it?
Tummy.
Tummy.
That was okay. Fun.